Okay, the following is an interview with Mr. Glenmore Hogg by Bill Whitehill for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at Mr. Hogg's residence at 311 Bath Avenue, Owingsville, on July 20th, 1978 at 1 o'clock. Mr. Hogg, I thought we would begin by getting some background information, such as when your family moved here and what they did and things like that.
You mean moved to Bath County?
Yeah.
We moved here in 1944. And we've been here and here. We've lived in three different houses since we were in Owensville. My first trip to Bath County was in 1943 when I went to, and I lived in Mount Sterling at that time and commuted over to the Bethel. I was principal of the Bethel High School there for 2 years, and then the year 43 and 44 and 44 and 45, I guess it was the year 45 that I moved here. So that's about the, and I've been here, been principal of the Bath County High School for 8 years. I was principal and superintendent for 12 years.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Round County.
Uh-huh.
I went and attended Morehead Normal School. And entered there in February 1924. And so that's where I got and attended the rural school at Cranston, Kentucky. And for 8 years, and then I was there in the old normal school, where Morehead State Normal. And it becomes State Teachers College, and now it's Morehead State University. And that, while I was there, I was in 1924, I guess I was the youngest one on the campus and the least one, smallest one. And so I graduated from college in 1936.
How many were in your class, do you remember? Any idea?
In the college? No, I do not. I have no idea. There weren't too many. There were about 35 to 40.
So after you got out of Morehead, or after you got out of the school, your college days, then what did you do right away?
Well, prior to getting out of college, I had taught 4 years of rural school, and I'd taught in one-room schools in Round County, and I'd been an attendance officer for a year and a half. And then after that, prior to graduation, I also taught 1 year in a rural school, in an elementary school at Halderman, Kentucky. And from there, I moved to Montgomery County as teacher and principal of the Mapleton Elementary School. I taught the 7th and 8th grade there and was principal. There were 8 teachers, I believe.
Going back to the time when you were in Round County, what were some of your duties as a truant officer or the attendance officer? How did you handle this position?
Well, child was out of school, I visited the home to see where they would go and why, and try to get them in school. And it was a whole lot like it is today, similar to what it is right now, that the main interest in getting children to attend school.
Did you have any difficulties because of maybe the poor condition of the roads?
To some extent, but most children, they were rural schools at that time, and most of them walked. and there was a school within walking distance of nearly every child in Round County, and so not too much was, as far as transportation, wasn't too big a problem, except if it got too muddy or the creeks got up or the icy roads or something like that, they got the flu, then they would, yeah, but as far as transportation problems, you just had to, if you got there, you walked.
Now, did you cover the whole county as a truant officer?
The entire county, yes.
And do you remember who the superintendent of the schools was over there when you were employed?
Roy Cornett.
And what do you remember about Mr. Cornett?
Well, he was a good superintendent. He worked hard at it. And he was he's very much interested in the school. And he was a good fellow. All right.
You said then you went and worked at what they called the one-room schoolhouse.
Yes.
Okay. There were more than one teacher at these places, am I correct?
No.
No, just one teacher?
One teacher. I was the only teacher in those. And the first school I taught was under Harlan Powers. He was superintendent at that school, at the Round County Schools at that time. The next superintendent I had was Lida Messer Cottle. I taught 3 years under her. Then Mr. Cornett, I was attendance officer and teacher in Holloman Elementary School. I taught the fifth grade up there.
What, I guess since you were the only teacher at the one-room school, then you had everything under your control and you had to do everything.
That's right. You had to see that the fires were built, you had to sweep the floors, you were a janitor, you did it all.
And can you remember what kind of salary you got being this jack of all trades in the one-room school?
Well, yes, I remember. We were supposed to get 80 some odd dollars per month, but the state went broke at that time and their equalization fund didn't come through, and actually I wound up with about $42 a month that first year. The second year. It was the second year that I taught. First year I got about 60.
Now, was this during the Depression era?
Yes, sir. It was very much so.
And you lived in Moorhead at the time?
No, sir. I lived over on the North Fork of Triplett at Cranston. And my family and my parents and my mother and my brothers and sister were all teachers. I'm from a family of teachers. My father had taught. My mother had taught several years in Round County. My sister has taught there. And I had two brothers and a sister that taught.
Then after you got done with your one-room school, then I believe you said you went to Montgomery County?
No, I became attendance officer.
Okay.
And then, or we were called truant officers, mm-hmm. Director of pupil personnel, and then I went to Haldeman the next year. I was there a truant officer a year and a half, and then at Haldeman a year. Then I went to Montgomery.
And in Montgomery County, you were both a principal and a teacher?
That's right.
And where about in Montgomery County did you work?
At the Mapleton High School. It was still Mapleton. Of course, it's grown quite a bit.
Now, that's not in Mount Sterling, is it?
Yes, it's right on the outskirts of Mount Sterling. It's up on, it's just on the air, on the city limits. It may be in the city limits now.
Mm-hmm. What subjects did you teach when you were at the Mapleton School?
I taught all of them, everything except music, in the 7th and 8th grade. It was math, English, reading, history, geography, agriculture, science, quite a bit.
So then how long were you a teacher at this school?
7 years.
And then you became the principal?
No, sir. I was principal all the 7 years, principal and teacher.
Oh, I see. At the same time.
The seventh and eighth grade there. All at the same time.
So besides being the teacher, you had all the extra duties of the administrative work.
Yes, sir. And sometimes one, for about 2 months, I also drove a school bus. And helped fire the furnace and a little bit of everything.
So many people today are worried and upset about the discipline in schools. When you were the principal and teacher at Mapleton, what was the disciplinary problem, or was there any?
Oh, yeah, they're about the same as they are today. Youngsters, they couldn't get along. Man, the teachers, they had conflicts with each other. And sometimes the student thought that he was being mistreated or something, and he became a problem. But discipline was handled a whole lot different than what we did then. If we didn't hesitate to use the paddle or the belt or a good switch if we needed to. And I don't know whether it did too much good or not to the individual, but it certainly helped the whole classroom. They saw they didn't want any of that, and they behaved themselves. But now, you have to do that a little different.
I've talked to some other people, and they said that if a kid was bad at school and got a whipping at school, he knew he most probably, when he went home, would get another one.
Most of the time, well, I've had that. We never had any problem with parents. One of the things, if you go and talk to the parents, or what I found out about their problems and what happened, and you don't have many, they understand and will get along with you, and you won't have it. But if you don't see them and communicate with them, and then you're liable to get in, they'll listen to the child's story instead of you, and that's when they get on his side.
So then, after you got done at Montgomery County, is that when you returned to Bath County?
That's when I moved or went to Bath County. I resigned from the Mapleton Elementary School, or I didn't resign, I just didn't apply for the eighth year. And then the war was going on, they came over and asked me if I would be principal at the Bethel High School over there. And they were in the building process, and I agreed to it, went over there and became principal and teacher and basketball coach.
You said that the war was going on at this time. How did the war affect the educational system that you were working with?
Well, the biggest thing we had was transportation. The gasoline you couldn't get. Everything was rationed. I mean, you had to have food stamps for sugar and things like that. You had to have the stamps to get those. And you just didn't get out and waste your gasoline. You just had so much gasoline to go on, and that depended, and you had to, if it's for your occupation, that's about all you had to go on.
You mentioned that you were the basketball coach. How did the war affect the sports in general?
Well, the only thing about it, we had basketball games. Boys would come, the coaches or the principal, or I would, or whoever would borrow cars and get a few little extra gas somewhere or another and transport them. Many times I've had 10, 11, and 12 boys in my old car taken to play basketball in our uniforms and all of our equipment in the boot. And it's so quite different than it is now. And everybody participated. And if the spectators got there, it was fine. If they didn't, we made it all right.
Did a number, or were there any instances when you can remember of kids sneaking away from school to sign up for the draft or sign up for the Army at all?
No, not too many of them. There was quite a few of them. When we became 18, they would be signed up and be drafted or sign up and go into it, but not too many of them. Of course, you always have them sneaking off and doing something, and then you'd have to go get them or see about getting them back in. But as far as that age limit, and not too many of them left at that time. Of course, I don't know, I guess I was fortunate or unfortunate because I didn't pass for the services. I was drafted and was examined when I was at Mapleton, but I'd had a accident, my skull fractured and a concussion when I was 13, and that knocked me out of going in the draft. But as far as the war was concerned, it had just affected us more at home. All the students cooperated, worked, and families, and everybody was behind everybody. We went to these dumps and rolled old cars out of dumps for scrap iron, rolled them up through fields and over fences to load them up and get them. And we'd work all hours in order to help to get scrap iron or anything. We even sometimes at the noon hours, and we would knit and make blankets or Africans for the boys and send them off for them. So everybody joined in and worked at that time in behalf of the war.
Then how many years did you say you worked at the Bethel School?
Two.
2 years. And then what was your next position?
I became principal of the Warrensville High School. And that time there were four high schools here in Bath County: Bethel High School, Sharpsburg High School, and Salt Lake High School, and Owensville. And they were all in competition with each other, basketball and sports. And so here I was only principal here at the high school. I was relieved of coaching and teaching and a few things like that, but still at the high school I had my hands full.
How big was the high school when you first took over?
Well, we had all grades. There was about 900 at that time from grades 1 to 12 here, and of course it was consolidated over a wide area of Bath County. And then Salt Lake was consolidated with the Owensville High School. Bethel and Sharpsburg, they were consolidated together. And then while I was principal over here, we had two high schools. And after I became superintendent, we combined all the high schools and brought them in, made it Bath County High School.
Now you remained the principal at the Owensville High School for how many years?
8 years.
For 8 years.
Yes, sir.
And all through that time there were two high schools?
No. Yes. That's right. Two high schools. Not all the time. Part of the time there were four for about 4 years, and then there became two. And it became one.
Now, what year did you become the superintendent of schools?
Oh, now, I can't remember dates. Well, I've been out 24 years ago, and that was 1954, I guess.
And that's when the two high schools consolidated into the one Bath County high school.
When I was superintendent? No. It was about in 1950 when the 52 is something like that is when Salt Lake came into Owensville and Bethel went into Sharpsburg. And then course, Salt Lake, they refused to come. And some of them missed a year of school, and we had quite a time for a while there. But they finally got them all together, and they're doing very well now.
Then you became superintendent, and you remained in that position for how many years?
12.
12 years.
Yes, sir.
Can you remember anything outstanding that took place, or something that, some controversy that came up that stands out in your mind during those years?
As superintendent?
Yes.
Well, one of the things was moving the combining, consolidating all the high schools, the Sharpsburg and Bethel area, into making it one Bath County High School. Another one was buying the property for the Owensville Elementary and making it a grades 1 to 6, and the rest of it was 7th and 8th and the 12th at the high school. That was quite a problem, and that brought in quite a bit. A lot of fellows that wanting to sell property and different things like that, they didn't forget it. They helped them remove me, which was, that was their privilege, don't you see. They have to remove me when I'm after 12 years.
When you first became superintendent, can you remember a general figure on how much the schools ran on every year? What was the budget?
It is, let's see, about 49 to 50,000, 60, something like that.
And now it would be most probably close to what?
Oh, million, about million, 1.25 million. Not quite that much, about one, little, it's over more than a million.
So there's quite a bit of difference in when you first started,
yeah,
and now.
Quite a bit.
So you remained as a superintendent for 12 years, and then I believe you said you then ran for the Board of Education?
Yeah. Well, the next year I was coordinator, after the 12 years as superintendent, I was coordinator of the federal programs for 1 year. And then I was out for 3 years altogether out of school, and then I ran for the school board and was elected. I don't know. I've been on there for 8 years now.
And have there been any major problems come up during the time when you've been on just a school board?
Not too much, no. Not too many problems. We work for, I think, most of the school board, and I think they're really interested in improving the school system, and I don't see that we have too much problem. We are having a problem now trying to acquire land, because we've had a trust fund, $1 million trust fund, put in our will to us and for agriculture purposes, and we're in the process trying to buy land to put an agriculture facility on it. And we're having some problems on it right now, but I think we'll work it out to be all right, in pretty good shape.
Now, just finishing up, is there anything that you would like to compare, maybe the school system as of today, you being a member of the Board of Education, as opposed to when you maybe first started out as a teacher or a truant officer?
Well, when we started out as in teaching, when I did, and in Round County, we were all poor people. We didn't think of such thing as a free lunch, free pair of shoes, or free coat, or anything like that. Every fellow worked to get his own, and of course, no one had any money. And that was in the rural area. And then you get out into the other areas, where it was a surprising thing to me that we had lunches. Every fellow those days, back in the rural schools, every fellow brought his own lunch. But then they had hot lunches, and some of them, I guess, didn't have the money to buy hot lunches, and of course that was the beginning of free lunches. And so we didn't have such thing as people on welfare and all like that. They were, of course, they were all poor. So that's one of the big differences. And people, if they either, they worked, of course, they would help each other and all, but when it come to putting out a lot of tax money and things like that for those things, we didn't hear of. And it's, we learned and the different problems, the different things we have today than then, was that, of course, the children, I think, know quite a bit more. And they've got so many more opportunities to know more. But I think they don't master anything. That's the thing, I don't think they have time to master it, because we learned our things in the rural school, and we didn't have such things as airplanes, television, radio, and those things, because all we had was our books. We learned them and memorized them and things, but today these youngsters, they know, they have nearly any opportunity they want to. But I think they just don't have time to. For instance, what I'm saying is we're lessening the school day. When I started teaching rural school, I was there at 8. I was there before that, had the fires built, floors swept. We stayed there till 4. And if we didn't have all the lessons at 4 o'clock, we stayed till we did have all the children's lessons. And listen to them and see them get what they'd done. But today, you get there at 8:30 and leave it. And you're lucky if you don't leave before 3, 6 hours. And in that time, you've crowded music into it, band, art, athletics, phys ed, and everything, agriculture, and all those things. There are special places that you go to. One teacher doesn't teach it all. And they talk about these children that can't read and all. I just wonder how they have time to any of them learn to read.
Did you favor the consolidation as opposed to the one-room school?
Yes, in a way. I think it's led to a great improvement in the educational system. But it's also taken a heck of a lot out of the community. I'm going to say this, that the schools at that time was the center, and there was interest in it. You'd have any program you want, everybody came, they participated in it, and everything. Well, you'll have the same number today. Maybe 25, 30 people will come to your PTAs and like that. Well, back in the rural school, you had everybody come. All right. Now, just for instance, at the time we had 4 high schools here in the county. We had 4 basketball teams. People would come to them. We had 4 PTAs. Today we have 1 high school. We have 4 rural schools and 1 PTA. And that's one school has a PTA. Those things, it just shows you that, I don't know whether it's the principals or the teachers or what, they don't want to be, and maybe they just don't want to be bothered with parents coming in and telling them how to run schools. Maybe they shouldn't.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.